This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Hi, welcome back to Fan Fiction. Today we're going to read chapter 2 of Safe House by Miss Genevieve. If you want to hear chapter 1, you can click right above this one in our Patreon, right?
Or wherever this is going to be. Might be a few different places, but yeah.
A few different places. Okay. YouTube?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Sort of wherever Ben puts it.
Ben puts it. Please find chapter 1.
We're in charge of input. He's in charge of output.
We're just the talent.
Is that? So chapter 1 of Safe House. Also, if you're looking for details about when it was written and the details of the fandom world, that's at the beginning of our chapter 1 episode. So we're going to dive into chapter 2. When last we left them, Sarah, Michael, and Lincoln had arrived at a safe house. Lincoln had been shot in the leg. Sarah tended to his wound. Lincoln went off, and now Michael and Sarah are alone, having the talk.
Chapter 2. How about you, Sarah? She swallows hard, but her throat still feels dry. What about me? His gaze travels her face, lingering on her mouth before finding her eyes. Will you be okay? They look at each other for a moment in silence. She's still so angry with him, with herself, and it still hurts so much, and she knows she should just turn on her heel and walk away, but she can't, and she won't. She's not a coward, and she's finished running away. I will be. It's very similar to the end of
this. I think we're overlapping.
Chapter. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
It's smart. It's like a previously on.
Mm-hmm.
He smiles once more, but it's a very different smile this time. Good, he says again, then hesitates, his gaze searching her face. Finally, perhaps finding what he was seeking, he takes another step towards her. His eyes never leaves her and says, "Let's talk."
She stares at him, vaguely aware that her hand is suddenly gripping the edge of the wooden kitchen table, crushing it in her vice-like Hulk grip. Genevieve didn't write that. How long did you say you'd plan to stay here? A couple more hours, maybe. Feeling as though she's about to take the first step onto a high wire, she takes a deep breath and pats the empty chair beside her. We'd better get started then. He laughs, taking her by surprise. The sound washes over her skin like velvet, making her shiver despite the heat. Whatever you say, Doc. Dropping gracefully into the chair next to her, he looks at her intently, the amusement in his face fading, replaced by the same nervousness she feels whirling in the pit of her own stomach. How? He stops, frowning, and then begins again with a quiet, "Where do you want to start?" "Actually, before we talk, I have something else in mind." Ignoring the speculative look he gives her and the fact that her pulse is suddenly racing, she leans past him and plucks the first aid kit from the table. "Can you take off your left shoe, please?" It's foreplay, or it's a brutzi. He glances down at his left foot, then up at her. "I'm fine," he repeats, but she merely shakes her head. Take it away, Paul.
"So you keep saying," she retorts, doing her best not to smile, realizing that she's actually missed arguing with him. That's sweet. "Take it off, please." Blowing out an audible breath, he bends over to unlace his boot. She watches him as she pulls on a fresh pair of gloves, not bothering to fight the urge to admire the supple lines of his body. There are still far too many unanswered questions hanging between them, but she's very tired of pretending that she doesn't want him. Of course, she thinks, that doesn't mean she's going to allow herself to do anything about it. She studies his face as he slowly tugs off his sock and sees his wince. What? As she looks at his remaining toes. Has it been bothering you? A little, but that's not it, he shrugs. I haven't really noticed them for a while, he says. I guess I forgot how bad they looked. The quiet resignation of his voice makes her heart ache, and she quickly motions for him to put his bare foot up on the edge of her chair. He hesitates, and she gives him an exasperated look. Please. He finally does as she asks, and she touches the suture marks lightly, remembering the shock of having so much of his blood on her gloves, his teary refusal to tell her who had assaulted him. A dozen questions are suddenly burning on her tongue, but she offers a mild, they're healing nicely. He looks relieved. Thanks to you. And no thanks to you, I'm guessing. She gently presses her fingers against the ball of his foot, just below where his two smallest toes used to be. Ugh. Too much running in those hard shoes won't have done you any favors. His mouth twitches in a half smile. Couldn't be helped. She can't stop herself from smiling in return. I guess not. She nods at his foot. You're done. He bends down and picks up his sock from the floor. Physical's over? Not quite. She takes a deep breath. How's your back? He looks up at her frowning. Why? Last time I looked, you had a second-degree burn on your back. She leans forward in her chair, elbows resting on her thighs, her gloved hands dangling loosely between her knees. I'm guessing that's also something you haven't really had time to think about. It's fine. She ignores the broken record routine. May I see it, please? His gaze slides away from hers, his face flushing as his hand brushes down the front of his crumpled shirt. I don't think that's such a good idea.
She knows exactly what he's thinking because she's thinking it too. They both know how this particular scenario ended last time.
Oh, boy.
But she's a doctor. She'd like to think that she's stronger than the impulses of her flesh. It's okay, Michael. It won't be anything I haven't seen before. It's the truth, but that doesn't explain why her heart rate is suddenly twice as fast as it should be. Without saying another word, he begins to loosen his tie, his eyes looking anywhere but at her. As she watches him, she's gripped by the sudden urge to put her hands on top of his and slowly slip the knot of his tie undone. She sits back in her chair, putting some much-needed space between them, realizing too late that she had underestimated the strength of those impulses.
Uh-oh.
Ruh-roh. He pulls his tie over his head, drops it onto the table without ceremony, then begins to unbutton his shirt, still not looking at her.
Ooh.
The contrast between now and then hits her like a slap in the face. There's no smiling seduction here, only a growing tension stretching out between them, heightening her awareness of the smallest things. The sun-touched tone of his skin, the shadows between his beneath his eyes, the whiskers roughening his jaw. And she knows she's no more immune to him now than she ever was.
Damn.
She gets to her feet, moving to stand behind him as he slides his shirt off his shoulders and is glad he can't see her face. He smells of clean sweat and lemon soap. She suddenly wonders if it's his trip to the bathroom was more about washing up than anything else. And beneath that, she recognizes the familiar scent of his skin. Her gloved hands clenched at her sides. A flash of heat ripples through her stomach. Damn it.
She closes her eyes for a few seconds, pulling herself back into line, drawing on every scrap of her willpower. Then she opens her eyes, reaches for the first aid kit once more. A few seconds later, she's shaking her head, only just managing to resist the urge to click her tongue in disapproval at the sight of the bedraggled bandage on his shoulder blade. Does it hurt? She asks with a calm that belies the hollow ache tightening in her chest. It shouldn't surprise her, of course, because she's never been able to see him as just a patient. Yes, he says dully, looking down at his feet, and she knows the fact that he's not fobbing her off by saying he's fine is a very bad sign. Holding her breath, she peels away the bandage from his skin as carefully as she can, suddenly afraid of what she's going to find. To her relief, despite the total lack of adequate care, it's not as bad as she feared. The wound has begun to heal. There's no ulceration whatsoever, which has been one of her main concerns. She picks up a clean swab, frowning as a vague, lurking suspicion begins to take shape in her mind. No complications with his wounds, either his toes or his burn. No sharps or insulin in the first aid kit. She thinks back to the initial readings of his blood sugar levels and his reaction. He seemed relieved, she told Katie, when she'd announced the positive result of his later blood test. He hisses softly beneath his breath as she begins to clean the wound and she can no longer hold her tongue. How are you managing with your insulin shots? He stiffens under her touch. She hears him exhale. Then he turns his head to look at her. You want the short or the long answer? The truth would be a good place to start. She thinks she already knows what he's going to tell her, but she wants to hear it from him. He shifts in the chair, but he meets her gaze steadily as he says in a quiet, clear voice, I'm not a diabetic. She may have half suspected the truth, but hearing him actually say it still shocks her. She stares at him, horrified by the implication of his admission. Your body is reacting to insulin as though you're not a diabetic. God damn it. God damn you, Michael, she says through suddenly clenched teeth. I could have killed you. She's suddenly furious, and she's not sure who deserves it more, him for his deception or her for ignoring her instincts.
He shakes his head. That wouldn't have happened. How the hell could you know that? He gives her a sad smile. Research, remember? Speechless, she just glares at him, and he quickly begins to talk again, filling the silence between them. I needed daily access to the infirmary, he says, his tone low and urgent, his eyes silently pleading with her to listen, to understand. The drainage pipe beneath the grate in your office. Excuse me, I have a frog in my throat today. The drainage pipe beneath the grate in your office led directly to a storage room, and that room was able to be reached via a tunnel from the guard's room. She stared at him, stunned. She's heard all kinds of rumors about the scale of the escape plan, but to hear him talk about it in such a matter-of-fact manner is something altogether different. Goodness. I'm sure the last thing you want is a chemistry lesson, but I was treating the pipes beneath the drain in your office with a corrosive every day so that it would eventually be weak enough to be smashed through. His gaze flicks away, then back again. The infirmary window was always our way out, he said, his eyes once again burning to hers. But the only thing I planned to need from you was a daily shot. She goes back to tending his burn, finding a small measure of distraction in the familiar movements of her hands. Finally, when the silence in the room is unbearable, she licks her dry lips and asks a question that's been at the top 10 list of things keeping her awake at night. So all the smooth talk, all those cozy little chats, the words feel thick and tight in her throat. All those things you said to me? He looks down at his feet again. That was just me, he murmurs, so quietly she can hardly hear him. That was just you and me.
It was real, Sarah. You and me. Her heart does an odd little lurch, much to her annoyance. What about my keys? She asks in as hard a voice as she can manage, determined not to herself be bulldozed by his goddamn charm all over again. Someone must have noticed that pipe beneath your office had corroded. They replaced it with a new segment that was 2 inches thick. He takes a deep breath, his back shifting beneath her touch. The infirmary was still our only way out, so I had to find another way into your office. She shies away. She shies away from the words, another way, not wanting to discuss the kiss they'd shared in the infirmary. Not now, not while he's half-dressed and her hands are on him and her whole body is humming simply from being close to him. And of course, when you say we, you're not just talking about you and Lincoln, are you? No. She tosses the bloody swab into the plastic dish on the table, no longer bothering to keep her voice low. Did it ever occur to you how I might feel when it came out exactly who I'd left that door open for? He flinches, although whether it's at her words or the volume of them, she has no idea. I'm sorry. I think we should take our break there.
You think?
I mean, we're 15 minutes in. I don't want to bore anybody. You want to keep going?
Okay. No, we can pick up there and leave it on the cliffhanger of how much of a fight Michael and Sarah are going to actually get into. I have to say, I'm grateful to Ms. Jean-Bierre.
I know, you were nodding enthusiastically.
I like that it's not a like, oh my God, you're so hot, that it's a little bit of a,
you have some, over.
Yeah, you got some splaining to do.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you want to see how Michael talks his way out of this one.
Yeah.
Or maybe they don't.
Maybe they don't. Maybe she kills him.
Well, we know that Lance has been mentioned, and we know that Kellerman is in this. So maybe Sarah leaves in a huff, and Lance slash Kellerman comes in. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
All right. Please tune in next week for episode 3 of Safe House.
Shirtless Michael. Angry Sarah. Lincoln in the next room. What's the worst that could possibly happen?
See you then.
Bye. What do you think, Paul? You want to do some credits?
Yeah, let's do some credits.
Okay, great.
Prison Breaking with Sarah and Paul is a Caliber Studio production.
Your hosts have been inmates Sarah Wayne Callies and Paul Edelstein.
Our prison warden is producer Ben Haber.
Cutting us up in the yard are our brilliant interns Ariel, Alyssa, and Cade.
The frontman of the Jailhouse Rock Band is me, Paul Edelstein, who made the music.
All the music. Our prison yard tattoo artist, logo, and brand designer is John Nunziato at Little Big Brands. Check him out at www.littlebigbrands.com.
Follow the show on YouTube and Instagram at Prison Break Podcast or email us at ppodcast@caliberstudio.com.
Join the watch party and our Discord community through the Patreon link in the show notes wherever you're listening to right now. They're amazing.
Prison Breaking with Sarah and Paul has been a Caliber Studio production. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.